month of May is the joyous beginning of new growth, sunshine, walks on the beach, and the first glimpse of summer. We're stuck in a big aluminum building on a road with industrial in the name and talking to you. This is Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill. Please send us bagels and sparkling water and happy May.
Happy May flowers to you, my friend.
Yeah, where did we come up with May flowers?
I don't know. It came to me.
Wasn't that ventriloquist with
No, Wayne.
Oh, that was Madam
Flowers. Wait, what was his name?
Madam Flower, Madam Wayne, Madam Flowers.
Yeah, but he used to come to our house all the time.
Oh, stop it. That's Bridget Leroy. You know her best from stories about everyone in her family doing every motion picture that's ever been made.
No, but you know what? I just realized, what was his name? That guy.
We know that guy who was just playing. It's Jim Turner.
Jim Turner.
He's our one-man band.
But I forgot what his name is.
He is the king of playing non-registered music that will not cost us any money. It sounds a little like something, but he changes one.
But that guy, wait a minute, you've really got me on something. Because
Wayland Flowers and Madam was the act.
So when Tony, my stepdad, Tony Walton, was designing Free to Be You and Me, Wayland Flowers is the guy who designed the little baby Muppets that sing, let's hear it for babies.
That's true. Once.
Yes. So he came over to our house and he had just invented Madam. She wasn't famous yet. And he brought her over.
If you're still listening, God bless you. I have no idea where this story is going.
Listen, this is fun. So what he did, I mean, this is just a family memory, but he put on the album of the Apple Tree, which was Sheldon Harnick and Jerry Bach, and there's a song called Look at Me, I'm Gorgeous, when Passionella becomes Passionella. It was Barbara Harris. And he put on the record, and he had Madam dancing around our living room to the song, singing, look at me, I'm gorgeous.
So this act was way before...
Yes.
Jeff Dunham and Peanut and all the other ventriloquists. But the reason I knew about him, and anyone listening may remember, is from the Hollywood Squares. He would come on as Madam Mela.
Right.
So are
but
you saying that Madam, the puppet that we all know and love, or three people listening know and love, is like was created in your apartment?
Oh, no, I think he already, but she wasn't famous. She hadn't been, like he brought her as an example because I guess Marlo Thomas and whoever else was doing
Free to Be You and Me.
And Mel Brooks, they were all over at the apartment. I got it just like put so much money in my name drop jar. Sorry. But they were all over. And yeah, and he was auditioning to design the puppets.
Again, for people who don't know this character or this guy, and I'm thinking his 15 minutes of fame really were consumed by
Hollywood Squares. Right.
The madam was this little old, dirty old lady.
A dirty old lady. Well, yeah. She was a madam.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, is in the Mayflower Madam. Now we've gotten back to the theme of the show.
Hey, speaking of Mel Brooks, the Gene Wilder documentary is phenomenal.
Oh, is it?
One about his career, as opposed to the Steve Martin documentary, which has been running for the last couple of months on Apple, which is just a little too much Steve. I liked him more before I watched this documentary.
Well, I'll tell you something, though. I did not know that he was employed by Disney when he was, 16 years old.
I mean,
he was...
So you saw
it. It was really cool. I saw part of it. I didn't actually watch the second part.
You saw enough, I think. I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan. I bought all the albums.
Me too.
Comedy records that I remember actually going out and buying were Steve Martin.
Well, see, that's our age difference, darling, because those are the first albums I remember.
No, you were listening to Nichols and May and
Benny. Only on The Rebound. No, shut up. Jack Benny. Okay.
Okay, that Jack time Jack Benny came over for brunch.
No, well, do you know that Jack Benny was my grandfather's best friend?
No, I didn't know
You didn't know that he and Mervyn LeRoy were like best friends?
Okay.
So I was at the Dorchester when I was 6 years old, and Jack Benny was there with his... violin
in Dorchester in London.
Yeah, and his great big thick glasses, and he's played the violin for me in the lobby of the Dorchester.
Wow, that's lovely.
Did he?
Yes, he really did. Jack Benny was my grandfather's absolute best friend.
Did your grandfather? Your grandfather was one that also directed and besides producing.
Yeah.
So did he do any of Jack Benny's movies?
No, it was just Jack Benny and George Burns and my grandpa. They did those thumb things. Like he's like, oh, do you want a diamond pin? And he'd give him a dime and a pin.
Hilarious.
Now they're called hashtag dad jokes, but back then they were just called jokes. Exactly.
Wow.
So there you go.
You know, Steve Allen used to say that there were only 7 jokes. And then he walked that back years later. But the point was, there's a premise and a setup and a thing, or this kind of joke, or this kind of joke, or this kind of, and there's really only 7. Everything's a variation on
Steve Allen, I don't know. He gets no points.
Stunning. That's a news alert.
There you go. So anyway, yeah, but so yeah, Jack Benny and
it's May. Flowers. We're flowers. We didn't have we as people listening can tell we don't script any of this. So I had no idea.
We're so good.
You were going to pull Mayflowers into Madam, but anyway,
you're the one who brought that up.
It is a month of. I made the joke that we're stuck here in this aluminum building, but and we love LTV and
we
love WLIW, but it's a time of new birth and
it
new.
Is.
Growth.
It is. That's why we're excited to have our first guest who's going to be on.
Let's talk about all the guests. We're going to have an herbalist.
We do. April Alexander from the North Fork is from all the forks, and she is a certified herbalist. She's also a flower essence practitioner. So she's going to talk about flowers and
so
essences.
When she comes to a fork in the road, she's very confused.
Yes,
right? She's
probably.
All forks. Yes,
she's
okay.
All forks.
She's salad fork. She's. I'll tell you a great Martha Stewart story.
Fish forks.
Sometime.
Okay.
It has to do with salad fork. Who else is on?
We have the wonderful Kate Muth of Neopolitical Cowgirls. They have their big Andromeda's Sisters event coming up at Longhouse in June. But Kate is year round.
Sisters.
You know, I mean, Kate is
what
really.
What feminist thing have you dragged me into this month?
Oh, you're just going to have to, you're going to be surrounded by wombs and you're going to love it. You're going to start lactating
women,
today.
Women, I'm going to lactate.
You're going to lactate.
I can't wait.
You're going to have that letdown reflex. Kate is.
I have that letdown reflex ever.
Like, we all do, damn it. But Kate has been doing Neopolitical Cowgirls and just like amazing kind of avant-garde outdoor performances like Zima and all these wonderful things in the winter. And also she is an actress and a dancer in her own right, but also is one of the founders of the girl bands. And we had what's her name? We had
Nancy Atlas.
No, Karen Mannix on in January talking about the battle of the girl bands, the fantasy girl bands, and Kate was the founder of that.
And her grandfather was Joe Mannix, who used to solve crimes every week on. No,
Karen no. But Kate is also married to Josh Gladstone, who is here at LTV and is the artistic director.
Josh, if you're listening, stop with the Facebook friends. Yes, I'll take you on as a friend. No, he sent me a friend request today. And I'm like, it was one of those things where you open it up and you go, you have 73 mutual friends. I'm like, whoa!
Welcome aboard. So yeah, so Kate's our guest, and if we're lucky, we'll have Patrick McLaughlin.
If we don't bump him the way Kimmel always bumps Matt Damon, Mr. Ryan Gosling joins us at the end.
Of course.
For a very cool movie that I'm really looking at, have not seen yet. It opens this weekend, but it's called The Fall Guy, and it's based on the loosely based.
A stuntman,
Lee Majors,
right?
Lee Major's TV show, The Fall Guy, from many years ago.
I never saw that, and I have no...
You have to be lying. That has to have been one of your guilty pleasures.
I swear to God, I've never seen...
Were you a man from Uncle Girl?
No, I never... Well, wait a minute. The old one?
Who was on TV when you were growing up that you had a crush on?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he was so often in our living room, I'd have to say David Niven.
Oh, shut up, you. No, I guess... I mean, I was watching, like, Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley and those kind of things.
Yeah.
Well, but I didn't really...
Nicest guy on the planet, Henry.
Yeah.
Actually, Richie Cunningham. Actually,
yeah,
Ron Howard is very nice.
I know.
As well.
They all kind of went on to things. I'm trying to think if I had a crush on anybody who was on TV.
On TV. Joni, Chachi, that Chachi guy, Scott Baio.
No, I didn't. I had weird crushes. I had crushes on, like, literary characters. Like, I had a crush on Holden Caulfield. You know what I mean?
That's not anybody real.
I know, but he was the catcher in the rye. I had a crush on Jughead was my first crush.
The cartoon Jughead?
Yes. I don't know why.
He's the outcast. You're on
Archie. That's why. I liked the outcasts. I didn't like the big stars. Maybe I figured I was...
Fred or Barney?
God, do I have to choose?
Okay.
Dino. Dino the purple dinosaur. The original, the OG Barney. I don't know. I'll think of something by the end of the show.
By the way, were Flintstones vitamins really the most natural thing kids could have?
I loved them.
They were based on a fat guy and a short guy.
That's true. They were not the picture of health.
And what was the mom's name?
Wilma
had such a calcium deficiency, she actually had to wear an extra bone in her hair. Remember that? That's
really
not
funny.
A vitamin
That's
hero.
That's a good joke. You got a good bit there.
Oh, do I?
Bill McCuddy.
Listen, speaking of good bits, let's move this along.
Okay.
We've got some great guests.
Well, now I'm really really upset because I can't think of who I had a crush. I mean, you know who I had a crush on?
Oh, no, Holden Caulfield says it all.
No, no, and Jack Wilde, the artful dodger.
You like the bad boy.
I like the
but the, but the bad, weird bad boy.
The weird bad
Jughead
boy.
Jughead and...
Hey, we get along. You're a weird bad boy.
Did you ever... You must have met Jack Wilde.
No, I didn't. And, you know, he died like...
So take a quarter out of the jar.
I know. I'm getting depleted today because of all the people I haven't met. Yeah. That's so funny.
Oh, thanks. Anyway. But thanks, by the way, to the kind folks at Canoe Place.
Who
lots
did you have
lots
a crush
of happening on.
Who was your...
Oh, the Partridge Family, the girl.
Susan Day. With the
and Stephanie Powers on when she was the girl from Uncle was kind of hot.
Okay. I don't even know that that's a show, but okay fine.
And Jughead, no.
No, see, I knew we had something in common.
I go both ways.
You liked Veronica, didn't you?
Veronica, yeah.
From the Archie.
Yeah. You like the bad girl. You don't like Betty. Betty's the...
You know, we should have Nancy Silberkleid on the show. She lives out here, and her husband, Michael, was like the founder of Archie Comics.
So is that true?
We'll have her on. Nancy's a
friend. Today, who do we have on?
Today,
who's up first?
We are going to bring April Alexander to the table. Welcome, April. How are you?
Good.
I know.
I'm an herbalist, which I find fascinating.
Oh, really?
Well, it's a hot topic now. Everyone's curing everything with herbs.
Allegedly. Yes.
Is there too much hype out there? I'd be stunned if you said yes.
I don't know if there's too much hype, but I think that there definitely is a time and place for everything. It's just a different way. It's more if people are willing to do the work, then the herbs will work as well.
When you get sick, do you think of a tea before you go to a doctor, or do you think of a holistic way to try and...
Absolutely.
Wait, do you actually get sick?
Oh, yes.
You do?
All herbalists get sick. Everybody still gets sick. But, yeah, no. Actually, I haven't probably been to a doctor in the last 20 years.
Did you get COVID?
No, I never got COVID.
Wow. Right. And do you attribute that to a sense of betterness from taking specific herbs?
Betterness?
Betterness? Yeah. Maybeness? Yeah. Maybeness, could that be a word?
Maybeness.
Yeah.
Maybeness.
Yeah. I used to tell everybody, well, I did a lot of fire cider and elderberry syrup, which has become popular now because of...
Fire cider is like apple cider vinegar with... like very spicy herbs.
And cayenne pepper.
Yeah, so it has cayenne pepper, onions, garlic, horseradish. That's like the, and lemon. So those are like
And you never get sick because no one comes within 10 feet of
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. No, and it keeps away the vampires too.
It's basically, you know what? It's mignonette sauce. It's basically what you put on oysters out here in the Hamptons.
Oh, that's true.
It's like fire cider, correct?
Yes.
So you could put oysters in there too, and then you have like a meal.
Awesome.
And you're healthy.
Yeah, definitely.
Works. So, okay, so how did you
And you can use it as Bloody Mary mix.
No, did you grow
now you're
up?
Why not make your medicine fun?
I want to ask Luke because I really want to know how you got into this. Did you grow up in a very natural household? Like, was this a natural?
No, I grew up with McDonald's and
really?
Yes, and April's Hamburgers in Center Reach was like the place we went because you know April's Hamburgers because
oh,
I'm
kidding.
April. Yeah, it was really funny.
So how did you take a turn toward kind of a more natural? And
my mom always told me I was a hippie reincarnate, so it was really kind of funny to like. I've always been a naturalist. It started when I was young. When I was growing up, I grew up in Isatawket for a little while, and the person that lived below us was an arborist. So the very first plant that I ever met was honeysuckle and peppermint.
Ooh,
so,
I love those.
And then I always spent my days outside, so it was like, you know, when the honeysuckles were in, I was like always out there.
Yeah, pull out that little stem and eat the honey.
Let me take my one little drop of honey, you know.
Yeah, I used to love doing
And then,
that
of course,
too.
You become a teenager and rebel against everything. And then, right. You know, and then you become an adult and you're like, oh, wait, now we got to culminate that
all
together.
You're the only teenager I've ever heard of that rebelled against McDonald's.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I haven't.
Well, actually, you know, my
it's been
son
25
Bing,
years.
You know, Bing.
Yeah.
I watched Fast Food Nation with him. Mm-hmm. Probably not a great idea when he was like 8 years old and he never went to he never went to McDonald's ever again.
Yeah, my kids have never had fast food ever. And when I tell people that, they're like, oh my God, never had fast food? I'm like,
nope,
never.
Well, once you, it's kind of hard to, if you've not been raised on it, it tastes very strange.
Yeah, and I haven't had it in like 25 years, but I'll never forget like when I was pregnant with my son, I was like, I'm craving McDonald's fries. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. So I went, and I never got so sick before in my life. And I was like, just from McDonald's fries, you know? I was like, oops. So I haven't went back.
They're in corporate right now going, they're loving it.
Yes, they are.
They can't buy product placement like
that. I know, they can't.
So how did you kind of grow your love of honeysuckle as a teenager into an actual, like, career, like something that you wanted to pursue and that you wanted to bring to other people?
Passion, passion. So what happened was, is, well, what brought me to herbalism to begin with was that, so I had my daughter, and my daughter had a double ear infection, and both of her eardrums ruptured. And so I was, like, really upset. I was crying because I took a ton of bubblegum medicine as a kid, which is amoxicillin.
Right,
and I thought it was just something you took every day because that's what I did. You know, I basically lived on amoxicillin. I remember one time the amoxicillin was in the refrigerator and I just took a sip. And my mom's like, you can't just do that. I was like, why? I take it all the time anyway.
Right.
So, and it totally gave me gut issues and all kinds of other stuff. So I was, you know, for years and years and years, I'm like, what the heck is wrong with me? I had no idea. So fast forward, my daughter has double eardrums ruptured. I'm crying. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want her to be on antibiotics like me. So I called my naturopath, who was Ashley Lewin at the time. She's passed now. And she said, are you still nursing? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, well, I can treat you. And it'll go through your breast milk and into your daughter. And I was like,
yeah,
this
right.
is like voodoo stuff.
Right.
But I was like, all right, I'll give it a try, you know. And she gave me the worst tasting herbs there ever were, but I took them,
yeah.
you know, diligently. And within 2 days, her eardrum stopped leaking. And within a week, she was back to normal. And I was like, I'm sold.
Yep.
This is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Wow.
I had no idea you could do something without antibiotics.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, this is it. Yeah. This is what I want to do.
That's fantastic.
That was the anti-antibiotic.
Exactly.
In other words, it was the biotic.
Yes.
So
yes.
So here we are in.
We have the technology.
Yeah.
We can rebuild her.
Yeah.
The biotic daughter.
Oh, okay. Now we've gone like a callback to Lee Majors and the Fall Guy.
Yeah.
Good one. There you go. I kind of wanted that coin.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's May on the East End. What is like what kind of medicinal plants are growing around that people can harvest or that you harvest at this time of year?
Dandelions, you know, definitely dandelions. Dandelions are great because you can use the whole plant. It's the flower, the leaves, and the roots.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit about that because out here in the Hamptons, of course, people want to eradicate dandelions. Like, they are the enemy, and they're not. They're one of the best things you can possibly grow, and they're bitters, right?
Yep.
So you can make a tea.
But the first thing you do is rub them under your chin and see whether you're like butter or not. What was that when we were kids?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Remember it used to, on your arm.
Yeah, right.
To see if you peed your pants or something.
Chicago, we did it under the
in Chicago.
And in England, we did it under the chin as well.
Oh, that's so funny.
Like Jack
butter.
Benny.
Shut up, you.
We did it under the chin.
But anyway, so yeah. So tell us a little bit about dandelions, because that's a great thing in May that people
Is it just tea?
No, well, you can. I actually make a dandelion salad. A lot of the times we're fighting. Me and my partner are always fighting, in whether it's a weed or not, because he's a gardener and I'm an herbalist. So he's always trying to eradicate them out of the garden, and I'm like, no, don't do that.
This sounds like a
sitcom.
This is like a sitcom.
Yeah.
Like the Green Acres of the Hamptons.
Right?
That's great. He's all about just decimating the dandelions, and you're saving them, and like so. But you can eat the greens as well. You can
eat the greens. So what I do is I take the greens and I chop them up. I kind of make them like a Greek salad.
Right.
So because what happens is salt actually helps to cut the bitterness.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you just put some feta cheese on there with some salt and olive oil, you know, and some Kalamata olives. And, it's really great. And it's great for cleaning out the liver, which, you know, this time of year, that's what you want to do because you've just been through the winter. You've eaten a lot of meat and potatoes, you know, so it's like you want to clean out that liver and get that liver going again. So it's, you know.
That's great. And then you can use the root too, right?
Absolutely.
What do you do with the root?
Yeah. So the root, what I do is I cut that up and then I just dry it. So you can put it in teas. You can, you know, you can even make an oil out of it if you wanted. You can do many things. Yeah.
That's amazing. And then what do you do with the actual flowers?
With the flowers, sometimes, well, I like to make cookies with my kids with them, you know, and have like the petals kind of show out,
nice.
You know.
That's so pretty.
You can also make a dandelion oil. You can use that as your oil portion when you're making your salads, you know.
And it's really healthy.
It's really healthy.
Do you even go to the grocery store?
I do, but oddly enough, like if, you know, oddly enough, we don't buy much at the grocery store.
And what about the herbs you can buy commercially? Are they just garbage? I mean, is there any?
I typically try to use the herbs that are in our environment just because I'm a bioregional herbalist. You know, sometimes like there's crazy things that come out like, you know, neem or other things that are from India.
Yeah.
And, I'll check it out, but I don't necessarily use them all the time because I like to empower people to utilize the herbs that are right in their front yard because those are typically the ones that we really need.
That's amazing.
What are the easiest ones to grow? For anyone listening to this or watching this show thinking, I wouldn't mind trying my hand at a couple of herbs in a window box or even a small portion of that. What's the no-fail one that everyone will go, we grew?
Yarrow.
Oh, yeah. Yarrow, my mouth's watering. What is yarrow?
Yarrow is another bitter herb. Funny how this is becoming bitter.
It's very pretty, though.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
It is.
It's a bitter show. I think you've noticed that.
I guess. But it's a great all-around plant.
The definition of bitter here. So.
Yeah, it's a great all-around plant. It's a really good septic, so it's really good for blood. So when you need to bleed, it'll help you bleed. And when you need to not bleed, it'll help you do that, too.
When you
What's
need
it
to
look
bleed.
Like? What's a yarrow look like when it grows? Is it a leaf?
It's like Queen Anne's lace, kind of, doesn't
kind
it?
Kind of-ish, yeah. And now they also have, like, a lot of different, like, cultivars of it. So now it's, like, pink, and the deer don't eat it, which is really nice. And,
that is good out
you
here.
Know, yeah.
That's really important.
For sure.
So now,
yellow.
And you also are a flower essence practitioner. We have, like, 5 minutes left. Can you tell us what that is?
Is there a living in all this? I don't mean to be rude, but you are a practitioner, so people come and see you and
they do. I have one-on-one clients a lot. That's kind of how my business has evolved, is I mostly see one-on-one clients for health issues. So it's,
and they can find you at bloomingcuriosity.com, correct?
Yeah. Blooming-curiosity.
Blooming-curiosity.com. But yeah, tell us about the flower essence practitioner. Is that like the Bach flower?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay. And Bach was the first flower essence practitioner, and he's kind of made it popular. But flower essences is frequency medicine. So it works all on frequency and energetics. So it has no counterindications when it comes to medications and stuff like that. So it's really nice. And it's a really good kind of...
And you just put like a little bit under your tongue and stuff like
you
that?
You can. Typically, I tell people to put 12 drops in their water and then drink it throughout the day.
Okay.
So because you want to keep that vibration at a steady kind of vibration, you know. Yeah. So you don't want to take 3 drops in the morning and then what do you do all the rest of the day? So,
do you participate in like a lot of the farmers markets and stuff like that?
Or I don't participate in any of the farmers markets because I don't really have products to sell.
Right.
Do you find stuff at those? And can
I
people
do,
listening
yeah.
or watching go to a farmers market and reliably get yarrow?
Yes. They can. There's a lot of herbalists out there that are growers, so there's definitely people out there.
Yeah, we're lucky on the East End in general. We have so many kind of preserved open spaces, and we have Chernow's Farm and a lot of other places where people do grow elderberries and herbs and all of that stuff.
Marijuana.
Yes.
That as well. Absolutely. Yeah,
is there any other herb you can smoke besides pods?
Mugwort.
Mugwort is, that's...
Really? Mugwort's really great, yeah.
Everyone working here is nodding.
I know.
Mugwort grows everywhere.
It does. Mugwort's one of those things like dandelions that people try to eradicate.
Here's another bitter.
Is it a buzz or it's a relaxing thing?
Mullein is the other one. Yeah. Mullein is like the big velvety leaves, and that's good.
Where
you can make it into a
We've
cough
We've never
thing.
Dropped mullein.
Just wait.
Wrong.
I got you, babe. I got you. April, it's been great having you on. Yeah. So if people want to find out more or pursue an herbal remedy, they can contact you at blooming-curiosity.com.
Yeah, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Blooming Curiosity, too.
Okay, that's wonderful. Well, thank you for coming on. I feel like we're bursting into spread now. Yes.
Friend me on Facebook. If we've got 72 mutual friends, you're in.
I'm in. Only 72.
Jim Turner's going to play a little herbalist kind of, I mean, maybe something kind of sitarish or Indian. No, I don't throw these. He's not that fast. Thank you, April. Thanks for joining us. Because you're in a car on a beautiful May weekend and misery loves company, we are your miserable company. This is Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill.
Which one are you?
I'm the miserable.
I'm the bitter one.
You're the company. Yes, I've been established now as the bitter one. And Jim Turner, our one-man band, is playing a suitable outro, but also an intro for our next guest. Tell us about her.
Well, our next guest is my friend. We've already given her a bit of an up. What am I trying to say?
We've already talked about a tease.
We've teased for Kate Muth of Neopolitical Cowgirls, and here you are with your Neopolitical Cowgirls hat.
I sometimes forget I have it on, but I am, advertising all the time, I guess.
You two are like
the fastest pinball machine of banter I think I've ever heard. I was watching your show, you know.
You watch our show?
You're the one?
You're the one?
I'm your biggest fan. I will wear a hat of yours as well with your advertising on
we
it.
We need a hat.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. Especially being so early in the morning that your brains are so like...
Oh, gosh, and we're both like off.
It's almost noon, by the way, but okay.
By the way, no, I'm in the theater. Like, it's still, you know, I'm still awake from the night before.
Yeah, right.
This is incredible.
What, having a name drop
your
jar?
Your name drop jar. I actually finally put you to good use.
Right, exactly. If I was dropping...
There's big money in her
name
dropping.
There's big money in her. That could be fun for the Neoplico Cowgirls.
Yeah, it should.
You should donate it to a charity, and then you can plug that charity. You know, every month it's a new charity.
When you meet someone and tell them about this organization, what's the elevator pitch? How do you describe it?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We are a dance theater collective that, you know, believes that creativity and compassion go hand in hand, and creativity is a powerful mechanism for joy and change making in the world. And there's room for everybody at the table. Let's hear your story.
How does that manifest? What's a typical sort of art performance for you guys?
Generally, most of the time it's outdoors somewhere. It is devised, so it's very physical, lots of great music. From all different places and times.
You've done amazing stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was just thinking about like Voyeur. They have different themes. It's like it's. Yeah. Is there a theme this year that you have for a piece coming up?
Well, the piece that we after Andromeda Sisters, we have a new. It's got Shakespeare in it, because last year we got a federal grant to do Shakespeare
Federal money.
Money.
Oh my gosh.
Who knew the NEA still gives money?
That won't happen under President Trump.
Yeah, that's why we got to act fast. Yes. Stay with it as long as we can, right? Where are we getting the money?
We're biding our time. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
The pinball machine just tilted. It's just kind of. We'll edit all that out.
And my job will be to keep the two of you on track. So we were talking about Shakespeare, I think.
It's not in our mission at all. But we happened to, through a series of misfortunate and fortunate events, we're asked to do Shakespeare in the park during COVID.
Oh, wow.
In East Hampton. We've never been asked to do anything by the Village of East Hampton because we got this new mayor who actually wanted shit to happen now.
Right.
So here we are. And so we're like, we should do that. And anyways, that's how it started. You know, Josh, my husband, who is, you know, stalking you on Facebook. I've heard. Who is, you know, we've worked on Shakespeare a lot. It's just not in my company's mission to do it per se. But we have found this really great way of kind of flipping it on its head a little bit and looking at it through a feminist perspective, re-evaluating it in terms of how can we make Shakespeare more accessible to the general public, because there is a lot of good to be gained from it. And how can we keep the riches of classic literature really active and physicalized and alive and accessible for the general public.
Was Shakespeare chauvinistic? I mean, I feel like the women were very strong in a lot of his plays, almost ahead of its time.
But keep in perspective.
You knew Shakespeare. He was at your house. Is that what you're going to say?
Put a $5 bill in there, Leroy.
For Willie the Shake.
Which apartment was yours, to be or not to be?
Oh, my God. I was going to say that you can say that he was not chauvinistic, but let's face it, all the parts were played by men. There were no women.
That's true.
Okay, so come on, dude.
I think everything was chauvinistic back then. We
couldn't help it.
But
I mean, that's just
to give voice, right? To care and give voice to women at all. I think there's a little bit of progress. I mean, who knew?
Yeah.
You know, who knows what it was like back then, right? Like.
But Kate, can I ask you? Tell us a little bit about Andromeda Sisters as an event, because it's like a little of column A, a little of column B, a little of column C. There's so much that goes on because you have panels of these activist women, and you give a Lifetime Achievement Award, and you have a performance, and it's like a full, it's like the full Monty. You got everything going on.
We got it all going on. Well, so it's centering. women writers, particularly for the theater.
Are you doing the one acts this year?
We are. Okay, we're doing something. It's, you know, every year it's kind of this fun buffet of like what we're going to pick and choose, but always centering women writers, particularly for the theater, because the theater always is feeling, particularly after COVID, on its last leg, right? Mm-hmm. And also just letting women generate what it is we're going to talk about, what is the voice, and what is the theme that we're going to talk about. And then we go into a panel of change makers, whether that's sometimes an author, sometimes it's, you know, Alexis McGill Johnson from Planned Parenthood.
Right. Roberta Kaplan, didn't you?
Roberta Kaplan, right. Carrie Kennedy. And just to, I'm really, my committee is probably always ready to strangle me because I'm like, no. We need people in front of the zeitgeist, not just people who sit around and talk about things, but no, who are the people who are really like knocking down those walls and moving crap forward and making it so that our audiences, when they leave, are truly having aha moments and epiphanies and activating in our own communities. We want this, whatever's happening in the space and time of this event, to really be rippling out and be getting fire under people's bottoms to go, you know, whether that, it doesn't have to be big, right? The smallest of things, like showing up for the PTA meetings, right? Like that's big in some people's lives. Not everybody's made to do these big, broad gestures, right? But we need all of it. We need the people who are activated in their schools in ways that are meaningful for our students, right?
And then this Andromeda Initiative is a one-night thing or a week-long thing?
It's a one-off thing. It used to be, when it first started, it was a whole day.
Right?
Or expanded over 3 days. And then COVID happened. And then, you know, for one season it was online. And then now it's been, you know, outdoors versus indoors. And every year is kind of like, what do we need right now? And this year coming up, it's not so much on like a big outside theme. It is rooted and inspired by a book called The Soul of Civility by Alexandra Hudson.
I don't know.
And there's also a book by Priya Parker named The Art of Gathering. So the theme is about communication, community, and collaboration. And how do we right here, what can I do right here to bring civility to my conversations, to bring it to, you know, what can I change? And it's not just about pretty things. I'm not talking about like, oh, how we, you know, feng shui our apartments or our Hamptons houses. It's no. What is it that I have to do to help make my community, my neighborhood more civil in the conversations we're having?
Can I ask, because you did mention pretty things, and I don't mean to.
I like pretty things.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you usually have the most incredibly costumed characters, and it's almost like tableaus. Like you walk around, and there's a woman who's talking to a tree, and there's someone else who's, you know, they're feeding each other.
He's loving this.
It's getting you to my, I just want a run of show of what I'm going to see when I come there.
Yeah.
Because it's a panel, and then there's some art happening and performance stuff. And is that all happening on one stage, or is it of a farm that you take
over? It's immersive. It's immersive. They're going to be at Longhouse.
We'll be at Longhouse this year. We are the Longhouse's Performing Artists in Residence this year.
Right.
We're so grateful.
Oh, you are? That's amazing. I didn't even realize that.
Crazy?
That's so cool.
Spreading that Shakespeare dough around. Yeah.
Gardening. It's a perfect fit. And we have this... we have, you know, flowers, and I wish that there's someone who would sponsor us in live flowers, but it's like, you know, what I want to do is $30,000 worth of real flowers, whereas I can get $300 of silk flowers and make it. But we're highlighting some of the female-made art on the premises. There's, Yoko Ono pieces, and then there's other new pieces that are coming on that we'll have
from the Noguchi Museum.
The Noguchi.
What's her name? Toshiko.
I never want to say it because I'm...
Because if you say it three times, she comes like
she shows up.
Man.
It's just like right. Like
I have to practice it. It's one of those names I have to practice
to make it right.
And she's apparently Hawaiian, right?
Yeah, I saw her work. It's amazing.
Great. And there are these pieces called the Three Graces. So we're going to have some touchstones of performance around these particular places, pieces of art.
That are female created.
Yeah, and we're going to have one of the three parts that are going to be performed. Do you know Yoko Ono's 1964 book called Grapefruit?
No.
No.
I don't. I don't know anything about it. Oh,
so
good.
So we're going to have some of that read. It's quite wonderful, and it's about actionable things to do.
Just don't sing her songs.
I think I could sing them better than her.
Unless I'm being really good at controlling myself and not saying, obviously, that Yoko Ono was my freaking Okay, okay, guys.
So
I did
through the walls, could it sound like cats being electrocuted? That was just her doing Oklahoma.
So horrible. But this is so great. So what is your, like, what do you want people to walk out of Andromeda Sisters, which is at Longhouse on June 15th? What do you want people to walk out? You want them to walk out inspired to make small changes in their own community? What do you want people to walk away with,
Kate? Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think, like, because I feel like if we look out in the world, like starting with the earthquake, right, that just happened, starting with all the bloodshed, the slaughtering that's senselessly happening everywhere, it's very easy to be overwhelmed by where to begin, right? Where do we begin to make a difference and care? What do we care about? We have to care about all of it, right? Yeah. We can only really control what's right on our little patch, right? Like, what can I do right now? Whether it's kindness, whether it's warmth, whether it's making space for other people's stories. So it's really about feeling.
Well, you've never watched this show at all.
No. Yeah. Well, we got to laugh too, right? There's got to be.
Of course.
I laugh at a lot of things. We need to laugh. I mean,
hey, people who don't know listening to this should understand that Longfellow House was
Longhouse. Just Longhouse.
Yeah. See, well, Longhouse. Maybe I should understand.
Good guy. Yeah.
But that's
Longfellow was her neighbor.
That was the
not that old. Yeah, Longhouse.
My birthday cards.
Longhouse Reserve. The Longhouse Preserve was the home of Jack Lenore Larson,
right, who left us a few years ago.
He left us a couple of years ago, and in his lifetime he made it into a foundation.
And he was a famous textiles designer.
He was. And you've seen his, like, if you were on the old TWA airplanes, he designed the seat covers, like all those kind of velour wonderful seats.
Like a Marimekko, but...
Yeah, kind of like Marimekko, but it was like more repetitive designs and things like that. And Jack and his partner...
bought some property
Peter,
out here.
But he loved art and he loved, beautiful flowers, and there's a beautiful kind of pond and things like that. And he made it into a reserve, which people at the time thought, well, that's kind of a weird thing to do.
Yeah, they only did it in England when the castle people were going broke.
Exactly.
And they opened up part of it. So he wasn't broke. He just lived there, and he wanted to share it.
He did. And so it was Longhouse and Roundhouse. Roundhouse got kind of chopped off and I think was sold. But Longhouse is just one of the most amazing places out here. And it's
and
like,
has permanent things on display, like the Yoko's is an egg, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think
so. The chess set.
Oh, it's a chess set.
But there's
and
so
that's played by
right.
That's where I was going.
But it's an amazing place, and they're doing great things there. And Terry Barrett is doing great things. Jason. Yep, and they're doing wonderful things. And actually, full disclosure, I believe I'm going to be leading a writing workshop there in August.
Getting fertile creativity happening there, and in every way, shape, and form. And the way Carrie and Jason have really tilled the soil for really open community usage and supporting artists and making just so many regenerative things happening there in really wonderful, magical ways. It's we're very lucky.
Yes,
very lucky to have it.
Well, we were lucky to have you come by. I'm fascinated by the Andromeda Initiative, as I've renamed it, and I didn't know any of this. I'm surprised that Bridget Leroy hasn't been served on this board or like.
Well, I am on the host committee for it. Look at her; she's giving me the look. Kate and I go way, way back, and we're old friends, and I adore her, and I love her. Social advocacy and your incredible zeal for change.
Women's
I don't have that. I'm the one who stays at home with popcorn and go, I'm like, thank God we have people like Kate Muth on the front lines so I can sit here and
it's
just
not
like,
really true,
out.
Leroy, because look at, here you are. And you're helping spread the word.
Here we are.
Well, we are incredibly lucky to have you on the East End advocating for change for women and for art.
Thanks for joining us on NPR and on WLIW.
You will. Oh, that's right. It is NPR, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
You will come as our guest to Andromeda Sisters this year, I think.
Ooh, oh, no, I wish I could.
Make him pay.
No, I'm coming.
I'm making him pay by being here for him right now.
Yeah. I pay with you every
Wait, you know what? Before I say goodbye to you, I want to ask you, do you do, you, don't you also do things with, I know in, it's past because it's the winter, but you also have something for boys.
Yeah, Dude's Eye View. We have a screening.
Dude Night View?
No, Dude's Eye View.
You had a screening
in
April.
It's partnership with the Hamptons Film Festival. The screening's here May 22nd.
Oh, great.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
The Dude's Eye View, Girls, Gays, Young People's films that will be shown.
Oh, just explain very quickly what that is before you go. I'm sorry. I kind of like, I played you
school.
Off before your time.
Sorry, happens a lot.
No, so tell me about Dude's Eye View again.
Dude's Eye View, Girls, Gays. It's with Neoplico Cowgirls, Hamptons Film Festival. Festival partnership where we go into the school. It's after school. It's a commitment by the high school students, and they we go through a lot of conversations and getting people into a room that wouldn't normally be in a room together, sharing ideas, and they make short films, and then we present them for public screening.
But it's
Is
more
it
than
about
just
like bullying and
I was
about
gonna say, it's
social
not, it's
media.
It's not just about film,
and it's really less about the end product and more about the process. So it's whatever they want to talk about, whatever they need to, you know, creatively engage with.
And they make a film? Mm-hmm. They make the film out of this class or out of this.
So what are some of the, like, some of the subjects, especially for the boys? Because I know that, I mean, I feel like girls get a lot of, you know, a lot of this kind of touchy-feely, for lack of a better word, stuff. But
boys
for,
are like, more chase scenes.
Yeah.
Blow that up.
Right. Yeah. So, but it's more about accessing their inner self.
Because Dude's Eye View came out, you know, Neoplico Cowgirls are very based really fundamentally on girls and women, but really now humanity, because we're all in it together, aren't
right.
we? But the Dude's Eye View came out of, like, it was in 2018 when there was a staggering terribleness of young boys, high school, and just in 21-year-olds committing suicide. And we started getting calls and emails from parents going, what do you have for boys? I'm worried about my son. And I had a son at that point who was a senior in high school. And I'm like, yeah, I'm worried about boys too. And it was right out of the Me Too, mm-hmm. where there was so much flailing of how to communicate and who am I if this stuff about male masculinity is starting to crumble, right?
Right.
So the arts are the most wonderful place for anybody to come into and be able to express themselves, talk about things that are challenging, because it's outside yourself, right? We're looking at that image and going, what does that make you feel? What do you see there? And all things can come out, right? And the ability then to, right now we have a large population in this group of Latino boys, and it's really been remarkable having
That's
them.
Wonderful.
And has the film festival been able to get some famous people to help and come and contribute, or
that's,
editors?
Oh,
or,
that's
or
interesting. Yeah,
directors?
So it's not that, yeah, at this
Or talk
point.
To them about, not help them make the movies,
yeah.
but actually discuss the process.
Well, we had Sawyer Spielberg be one of the moderators before.
That's great.
And Anne Chasson, who's the executive director, has right. been there. And usually we try to get somebody of that note. Maybe you want to come on and
they don't want my direction. More chase scenes. Blow things up.
Yeah, blow it up real good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I got your feelings right here. Bam!
God. Wow. Just how to make them more closed up. But you know what? They'll all become comedians
yes.
because they
got
to get it out
right,
somehow,
they
right?
get it out there.
Okay, thank you.
Nice
thank, you.
Thank
you.
Guys.
And how do people, it's npcowgirls.org.
Perfect.
npcowgirls.org if people mm-hmm. want to go online. Buy tickets, or you also have people can donate and support another woman yeah. who can't afford it to come to
That's
your
right,
event.
Because the main thing is it's accessible for everybody. So if you have $25 to buy that ticket, we gladly welcome it. If you need help and someone else to donate a ticket, we welcome it. I mean, everybody needs to be there. Everybody needs to be there.
June 15th, I will be there. I think
you know I'll be there.
You're
Gulliver
be there.
Here is probably traveling. At
no,
that.
I'm actually not. I made a point of being
James
here.
James Lane Post is our
one of
our
your sponsors.
Media sponsor.
Okay. Yes.
So we're.
I wasn't even sure of that when I asked you on this show, so I wanted to make sure
okay,
I saw.
Yeah. We
there
still
was
have
no,
a
like,
step and repeat from last year.
Yes.
With
oh,
James
great!
Lane Post,
oh,
so
fantastic!
Second time.
Yay! I'm so excited for that. That's great, Kate. So
we'll
glad you were here.
We'll bring a Velcro logo of ours and put it on the step and
we should do that.
We should do that.
Like,
that's
we
a
should
funny
do
idea.
That for all the events in the Hamptons like, this summer.
Just for our logo.
Have stickers. Air Hamptons with Digit and Bill.
Why hasn't somebody thought of that before?
We just did.
You just did. And now everybody else knows about it, too, so they've got their eyes on you.
It's a thing. We're going to do that. Thank you, Kate. So, Jim, can you play us a little music?
Come on, put your hands together on this, people, on the two of the four. One, two, three, four. On the thing, help me clap some more. Could you put your hands together on this, please, somebody? Well, it won't do it. No. Put your hands together, please. I need the drums. Bill,
oh, okay.
My drummer
right.
couldn't make it. He had it.
Those are the crazy ramblings of our one-man band, Jim Turner, who creates literally on the spot. And I do not want to I don't want this thought
it's
lost.
The Mayflower Show.
He is completely off the cuff, or in this case, off the. What kind of guitar is that?
Out of his mind, I guess so.
And he's got a harmonica in his mouth.
A surprise guest,
yes,
it's a surprise to him as well, because we literally just put him in the chair. It's my husband, Eric Johnson.
At this performance, the part of Patrick McLaughlin is played by...
because Patrick, I don't know where he went. He was supposed to be here.
Hey, Eric, how do you do it? How are you married to this woman?
It's a pleasure and a joy and a challenge and a...
All and that. Apparently hypnosis is involved, because yeah. I think that
if
you've
you
been programmed to say all of those things.
No, but you know what's kind of interesting in keeping with our theme, and here's Bridget thinking on her feet really fast, my husband is, in fact, a son of the Mayflower.
Is that true?
Go way back.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I know Mayflower gets a lot of bad rap this day, you know, for fairly...
It's not a good van line,
it's...
for example.
Wow.
They've moved me twice and broke a lot of stuff.
But tell us a little bit
we're
about...
We're no longer in the moving business like that. we move other things.
Oh, but tell me about your background. Who are you related to?
So,
Oh, yeah.
My great-grandfather...
You wouldn't have married anyone that wasn't related to somebody.
Yeah, here, you get the jar, honey.
Oh, I give it...
So can you go straight back to the
mayor? Straight back to the governor.
Really?
Yeah, William Bradford.
No kidding.
17 times removed.
17?
He was the first. He was the first.
Did you have to speak in every class every year at the?
No, we went to Thanksgiving. We went to the plantation, and I.
Okay, we're trying to forget that.
No, it was really...
The plantation is... We really don't talk
about the Plymouth Plantation.
It was called Plymouth Plantation, but it was Plymouth. It was the Plymouth, Plymouth Rock.
That's
like,
the
and
Plymouth
they landed on Plymouth Rock.
Right. Denzel going, Plymouth Rock didn't land on me.
Right.
So I was talking to Mary
Bryant. Actor.
Yeah, an actor who was playing my great-great-grandmother. And I was trying to explain to her who I was in relation to her. She's like... She seemed very confused, talking to somebody from... Yeah,
I know the feeling. I do a show with your wife.
Yeah.
But listen, you have a very interesting career, I'm very happy to say, which is you move artwork. People don't think about that. They don't think
that's
about the fact that
moved.
That art...
It's well hung.
Yeah.
He hangs...
we were thinking about that as the title for the name of his company, and I'm so
really?
Glad we went with EJ Art Mover.
Nicely hung, maybe.
Nicely done. No, but talk about some of the challenges that you have out here in the Hamptons with artwork. Like, what
people
think... If some, and people, well, no, but people think perhaps that you just grab a new nail and put up a painting
that's
and boom, that's
do.
Done. Okay.
But we do a lot of hand waving and make it look.
Do you use the
impressive.
Tape thing that can come off so we get our deposit back?
Yeah, we put blue tape.
No, but tell about some of the interesting pieces you've moved or some of the, you've got some things.
Sure. I mean, one we had to drill 140 holes into a concrete wall to put each one of these pieces of the sculpture in a particular pattern.
Was the artist there?
The artist
supervising
was not
there.
No, that? It was an Italian artist. They sent the pieces over from Italy with extras and things. And some of the pieces you had to sort of manipulate the shape of to make them fit. And so it was a real collaboration. And
you need an expert for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
It came out. That was an amazing job.
And you've worked, I'm sure, with a lot of the celebs out here as well.
Oh, sure.
Anyone we can...
I'm not going to...
Who's
you know,
difficult? What's the most... I know you'll answer this. What's the most expensive thing you ever hung?
I don't even know.
They don't tell you?
I don't pay attention.
Look at
the
signature.
Well, you don't
want
to know.
No, I know. Well,
there's
the Chamberlains... We did Chamberlains last week that were pretty...
Yeah.
Those were pretty intense.
Pretty
they went to a... They're staging a house in Brooklyn. And the opening was last weekend, and they staged it with de Koonings and Chamberlains and sculptures, and we put these massive.
Would you rather not know something's worth $10 million when you hang it?
I rarely pay attention to that. I mean, we're very careful with everything, regardless.
Ever drop anything ever?
Ever had any major?
No.
There, you can tell us.
Yeah.
There was one. Vase from Martyrs that broke when it came off the back of the truck. So that wasn't a huge big deal.
But
I had a heart attack.
But the people
that could have been $10,000.
And the billionaires who owned it made a big stink about it and refused to pay me and still owe me money. But I'm not gonna.
Really? And again, their names are.
I
let's do a GoFundMe for them.
I know.
It's so sad. They lost their vase.
Yes, they lost their vase. Who can't afford a new vase.
Well, Eric Johnson.
Your dollars will help.
Eric Johnson and VJ Art Mover, thanks for coming in and subbing for what we
Yeah, I was just going to run in the door and just.
Let's have Mrs. McCudley on. Was she a makeup artist?
She's a stylist on television commercials, many of which were on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, well, that's much more interesting than my husband, than my mate.
Yeah. See, I don't drop names as much as my co-host does.
It's so much fun to drop the names.
Hey, this weekend we're all going to go to the movies, and you should come. I've been so dying to see this. This is the month of May, and May now is the month that kicks off the summer. It started with Twister way back in.
I remember Twister with Helen Hunt.
With Helen Hunt.
I love that movie. I love that movie.
What they started to do.
It's very silly because there's a part where it's like we don't hear the tornado. Well, it's right behind us.
Cows go by. It was based on a true story.
Yes,
but the idea that the tentpole movies that only happened in the summer got moved back to May.
Yeah.
Let's everybody make more money. And we just had a little juggernaut called Barbie.
Yes.
And there was a guy in that named Ryan Gosling. He has a new movie out.
Oh, yes.
It's based on Lee Majors, the Fall Guy. And we caught up with Ryan at a premiere. And he said the origin for the film had a little to do with the 70s show and Lee Majors, but more to do with his own relationship with stunt people that started with his very first television show. Take a listen.
I started on an action-adventure TV show called Young Hercules. So I've kind of had a stunt double my whole life. And it's always been this strange dynamic where they come in, they do all the cool stuff, and then they go and hide, and you pretend like you did it. And it's not cool, and it's about time, you know, that we sort of recognize that they've been making actors into movie stars for like a century. And so it's so fun to share the spotlight, turn it on them, and just acknowledge that they make some of the most iconic scenes in movies. Some of them, our favorite moments from film in general, are designed by stunt people, so. It's about time.
You know, he says an interesting thing there, which is they've been making actors into movie stars for years, and they do it so seamlessly that we don't pay attention to them, and we don't know about them.
Yeah.
Peter O'Toole was in something I think called The Stuntman, but for the most part, there haven't been very many movies about what they do. The TV series with Lee Majors was kind of goofy, and this is way goofy. Emily Blunt, as I mentioned, is in it. Also, are you at all a fan of Ted Lasso?
Oh, my God. It's like my favorite
Hannah
show
Waddingham.
Ever.
Oh,
I love
her. She was your godmother. But anyway.
No, I actually never met the woman, but I'd love to. I know no one from that
funny,
show.
She talks about you all the time. Anyway, she's in it, and a couple of other famous folks. I've been so psyched to see this. It's running about 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, opening this weekend, and I will go to a movie theater to see something like this.
Well, that's wonderful.
That and a James Bond, the next. We're also getting this summer the new Gladiator, the redo with.
Are you not entertained?
That's right.
I love that. Yeah. I want to do that. And what's going on? Anything going on at Canoe Place?
This month
one
at
of our
Canoe,
sponsors.
It's funny you should ask that because if you hadn't, I might have forgotten to say that the terrace is opening, which is the lovely backyard outside area where they will serve drinks and dinner. Also, do you know a guy named Charlie Engel? Because he is doing something called Surviving Anything, Do Hard Things on Purpose. It's part of their what they call Front Row series.
Don't know anything about it.
It's been very, very popular. As a sponsor, pretend you've heard of it.
Oh, of course. It's wonderful.
We saw the great Michael Clinton.
Yes.
For the book Roar.
We did. That was great.
Soon
last
to be
year.
A movie, Roar. Yes.
Yeah. And I hope it's MGM because we need the little Leo the Lion at the front going, Rawr.
They also do this amazing, this is not meant to sound like a commercial. This is like something I actually enjoy going to. It's the Candlelight Concert Series where they have those hundreds and hundreds of candles around.
Fun.
And they do, it's all strings.
Well, this is all stuff at Canoe
and
Place.
They're saluting Taylor Swift.
Oh, my gosh. Taylor Swift with candlelight.
Yes. Well, Canoe Place and Cottages in 1697. They just got electricity yesterday. And that's our show. That's May. That's all there is to it.
Well, you've just spent an hour with Bridget LeRoy and Bill McCuddy and survived. In fact, no animals were harmed in the making of Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill. Unless you count telling Jim Turner to wrap it up.
Take us out, Jim. Thank you for watching, listening, however you see us. WLIW is kind enough.
Cut me out of here.
And LTV points the cameras at us. So thanks for listening and watching. Just him, ladies and gentlemen.
Yahoo!
It's just him. LeRoy's love to direct.